Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Gilcast. You either listen to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast feed or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football Podcast feed. I'm Davis Maddock. I'm joined by Nate Noling and Sammy Reed. And guys, it's going to be a good show. There were late swaps. There were galaxy brains. There were some disasters. You know, everyone was tilting. At one point today, everyone in this group right here was tilting. Nate, your Bears just lost in overtime. You lost by 55 points to me in a daily fantasy contest. How are you doing, bud? How you feeling?
Not great. Not great. Bears lose. Alvin Kamara gets to like 86 yards at half and doesn't get the bonus. And yeah, but at least I didn't play Deontay Johnson and John Taylor in cash.
I figured you'd try to deflect, Nate. I figured you would try not to take your L. It's okay.
Well, you know, that's Nate's, but Nate's brand is not taking an L, but we're going to see how much Sammy has paid attention to Nate and his explanations for the years, because there are going to be L's to be taken on this show. I guess this is the place we should start. Sammy, was this the first time that swapping from behind has ever worked in the history of daily fantasy?
100%. So I had really bad flashbacks about the week where I swapped from Lockett to DK, and Lockett scored 3 first half touchdowns. And then DK Metcalf caught a long bomb and started strutting on the 2-yard line and got it slapped away. So that week, swapping today from Lockett to DK really, really brought back some flashbacks, some PTSD, honestly. And I can't believe it worked out, buddy. Like, congratulations. I want to give you a hug.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. So where we actually have to start this conversation, though, I don't want to let you off the hook.
I do not deserve to be let off the hook today.
So, guys, if you played Sammy Reed today in cash, if you picked up a head-to-head against the Whirling Dervish and he had not swapped against you, you would have beaten him by, like, 100, because this team that you rolled out unswapped is the most egregious thing I've ever seen, Sammy. I mean,
let's talk about it.
Sammy,
Time out. So first off, we have to kind of set it up. This morning I woke up and I strapped on 6 condoms and I split my cash teams. So I played a galaxy brain kind of art team in head to heads. And I went with more of a science team in all the 50-50s and double ups, which ended up being the same team that Davis had.
And my team was bad for the first half of the games, which led to the galaxy brain swap, which we're going to talk about here in a second. But where really need to start with is Sammy and Nate and I spent this morning arguing about Deontay Johnson, because Sammy was just convinced that Deontay Johnson was a good cash play for 5,500 DraftKings dollars.
Cash play, like a slam dunk. Like, what are you guys thinking?
Yeah, like
not play.
No. He was not a slam dunk. I thought he was a good cash play. He fit what I was trying to do.
He fit what you were trying to do, but I mean, Sammy was throwing out, you know, he's an alpha. He's got a 32% target share, you know, in games where he doesn't leave early.
These are all facts. These are all just scientific facts. You can't deny that he has a 32% target share in games where he plays the whole game.
And so Nate and I are like pulling up our projections and showing Sammy all the inputs and everything. And he's just like, No, dude, he's an alpha. What you guys don't understand is that Ben Roethlisberger's an alpha and Deontay Johnson's an alpha and the Steelers are the best team in the NFL, and I'm going to play Deontay Johnson, who saw fewer targets than Eric Ebron. And I'm not even going to give you the out of saying that he was hurt, because he only left for like a series and he came back.
He missed like 4 snaps.
It felt like he missed the whole game, which was interesting.
But Sammy, well, you had some legit like – hand in the dirt takes to justify this. Like, talk about this for a second, because this was that was the dumbest thing.
The third down 0 blitz take. Okay. So let me back up. So I made this galaxy brain cash team because I was convinced of 2 very important things, both of which ended up being extremely wrong, and neither of them was Deontay Johnson. Number one, I was convinced that Jonathan Taylor was going to absolutely smash. And I think, honestly, like, if you guys are going to hand me L's, it should way more beyond Jonathan Taylor than Deontay Johnson.
Because, dude, here's the thing. Jonathan Taylor is just fucking Trent Richardson.
Oh, my God. He's worse than Trent Richardson. Like, he's going to be –
what do you guys see in him? I don't – is it the, like, less than 60% snap share? Is it the fact that he doesn't get the passing work?
Nate,
that there's somebody else
this is
that
what
they
you
actually
don't
would
understand.
Rather have? What is it about him that, like, makes you guys keep
this
going
is,
back
okay,
to this
okay,
well?
Here's the thing. You're – so, like, Sammy's hand – Sammy has, like, two hands in the dirt. Like, he's, like, rubbing dirt on his face. But, like, I have, like, one hand in the dirt. Like, my hand is, like – I one hand's on my laptop, one hand's on the dirt. You have no hands in the dirt. You are – you're just, like, protractor – abacus laptop. That's like all you need to set your lineups. And the thing is Jonathan Taylor was a really, really, really good college player. Like really, really good, dude. Like he was a crusher.
Like the size speed score like beat Saquon Barkley. It was completely out of control. Yeah.
Yeah. And it turns out he's just fat and can't move. And Jordan Wilkins is better.
I mean, just your average backup running back in the NFL is way better than Jonathan Taylor.
Like DJ Dallas and Jonathan Taylor are comparable.
Oh, I'd way rather have DJ Dallas. So, I mean, I was convinced that Taylor was going to smash. I was just convinced they were going to come out of their bye and be like, okay, rookie, it's time for you to do it in a dome.
Well, it happened for Swift, right? Happened for Dobbins today.
Yeah, exactly. And I was also convinced George Kittle was going to absolutely smash and that Tyler Lockett was a bad play for the price. The Lockett thing ended up being true, but Kittle was terrible and Jonathan Taylor was terrible. And to make these things happen, I said, I'll play Deontay Johnson. And I think Deontay Johnson is a solid cash play. You know, like he's started and played three games the whole game and he's seen 10, 13, and 15 targets. 32% team target share, a 0.73 whopper, Nate. I don't know if you know about the stat whopper, but it's like an all-encompassing statistic that combines air yards and market share. And 0.73 would rank him third if you extrapolated that out to the whole season. So for 5,500, I realized that the game environment wasn't good, but I thought he was fine to make
No,
stop it.
It was like the literal worst game environment other than Las Vegas, Cleveland.
Well, as it turned out, you guys are right, and I was wrong. And here's the L. I'm going to get a necklace that's just like a big
wow.
Gold L that I can wear around my neck.
I think this marks the first time in history an L got taken on the show.
No, I mean, seriously, like,
it's a new
it's
day
not
for the
just
brand.
Deontay Johnson, it's Jonathan Taylor and Kittle. Like, that entire trifecta of failure was just a curse upon my family. And
I don't think you need to take an L on the Kittle thing. I don't think we need to hand out unnecessary L's.
Correct.
But this Deontay
Johnson
thing,
L's on Kittle.
If you're really going to, like,
he's terrible.
Deontay Johnson, not only is he, like, not an alpha, he's also not even good with the workload that he was seeing. The dude has a 0.72 racer on like a 7.66 ADOT. The only other people who have a racer even close to that are the people who are targeted 15 yards down the field every time. This dude doesn't get targeted deep down the field and is still inefficient. There's just nothing about him that makes me want to play him at all. Add to the fact that there's uncertainty around who's going to get these targets in Pittsburgh. And there was just no reason to play this guy, even at 4K. And you
okay,
played him at
well,
5.5.
Well, Nate is taking it too far because Deontay Johnson is good if you just would put your hand – if you just rub a little dirt.
You got to watch the film a little bit, Nate.
Yeah. I just got to get those glasses that make Jonathan Taylor look like a play that
no.
I want
to
play my
cat. No, you got to get beer goggles on for Jonathan Taylor to make him look thin. You know what I mean? Like, if you do that,
he
looks
6.6K for a guy who's out there like 50% of the snaps.
I mean, it had to have been less today. Like, they just stopped playing him. They realized he was fat and bad and just, like, didn't play him at all in the second half.
And Nyheim Hines is doing cartwheels in the end zone. After
yeah, Jordan Wilkins scoring touchdowns. They ended up goal line rushes to Trey Burton. Anything to not get Jonathan Taylor.
What would happen to Jonathan Taylor if he tried to do a cartwheel?
Dude, he'd just fall on his face. Like,
Who could do a better cartwheel, Leonard Fournette or Jonathan Taylor? Could either of them do a cartwheel?
Dude, if Leonard Fournette was on the Colts, like, he would have more fantasy points than Jonathan Taylor, and I don't think this is, like, a hot take at all.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into the teams. In our three-man, I scored 154 points. Nate scored 110. The Whirling Dervish scored 90.14. However, I assume that you just didn't swap this game because it didn't matter. And what did your swap end up score? I guess it would score 146, right?
So my swap, my double up team, the swap one was the same as yours. I think I scored 154.8.
Oh, okay. I thought so. You just have a weird team here in the three.
Yeah. I swapped this team too because it was drawing dead. Right.
What the heck did you end up with here in the three man though? This like Russ Wilson.
Yeah. This is like one of the worst teams I've ever seen.
Yeah. No, I swapped off like, I mean, let's not confuse the listeners, but basically I did a three-man swap in that one, too, because I was just drawing dead after Jonathan Taylor and Deontay Johnson. All
right, can we not talk about swaps then and talk about, like, what we rolled?
No. We're going to talk about the swaps.
We have to talk about the swaps.
Because the swaps saved our bacon, brother.
Yeah. So
talk
and
about the process leading up to the plays that you rolled.
Yes, we'll talk about the lineup pre-lock and then why we swapped. Okay, so we all played Jimmy Garoppolo in cash at quarterback. Like, let's just own that now. Before the slate locked, we all looked at it and we said, yeah, you know, it seems fine. Like, let's Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, it's fine. You know, the Seahawks have this terrible pass defense. And you know what? Nick Mullins came in there and just shredded him up. I think he had, like, 200 passing yards in a quarter.
Yeah, Garoppolo is basically the Jonathan Taylor of quarterbacks, right? Like, he is extremely awful, and we should feel awful. Because the only reason we played Jimmy Garoppolo is because of matchup. That's the only reason, right?
Well, and he had a really good team total. Like, the 49ers did have a really good team total.
I mean, that's the same thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is the same thing. You're right. But, like, okay. So, anytime a quarterback does this bad, it's very tempting to be like, so terrible, it was this terrible decision. But, like, you just – these are, like, bottom fifth percentile outcomes for quarterbacks for them to leave at halftime and for them to play this bad. I don't think it was the right choice. But I think that given the context of all the other guys that we wanted to play, like, I think it was defensible. Like,
yeah, there was not a lot of screaming value on this slate, right? We didn't have Gio and, you know,
Denzel Mims was 55% owned. That should give you an idea of how hard people.
I mean, Garoppolo legit was in the highest game total of the day, had like the fourth highest implied team total, and was the third cheapest quarterback on the slate. Like, at 5-4, it was hard not to look there.
Yeah. Now, if you played Jimmy Garoppolo on FanDuel, you're bad and you should feel bad. But because, you know, Kamara or Henry was kind of a required spend, because one Seahawks wide receiver was kind of a required spend, and because our value running backs, Kareem Hunt and Jamal Williams, were in the 6Ks instead of the 4Ks or the 5Ks. It squeezes you a little bit everywhere at salary. And, you know, there was no Kyler on the slate. There's no Dak on the slate. I mean, the only quarterback you were worried about people crushing you with in cash was Russell Wilson. Cause like people don't really play Mahomes in cash, especially when they're favored by that much. The only two quarterbacks I considered in cash at all were Russ and Jimmy. I did not look at any other permutations. Sammy probably looked at a Roethlisberger team, I bet.
No, yeah, I did look at Joe Burrow. But the weather kind of scared me off of that.
Yeah, I think Burrow and Tannehill would have been.
I actually thought fine-ish. Stafford was in play as well.
You always think Stafford's in play, man.
Well, no, he was like the only one in a decent like game environment this week.
I mean, yeah, I stacked a bunch of that game in tournaments because it was the only dome game.
Yeah, I actually thought Stafford was right there with Tannehill for me. For me, it was Garoppolo just because of the price. But if you take Garoppolo's like value out of it, I think I probably would have looked at like the Stafford Tannehill or found a way to get up to Russ. But
right.
Those were really
we all agree that Garoppolo, like, we didn't love it, but especially everybody knew he was going to be so chalky because he was popping
that's,
in all the
That's
major
the
optimals.
Other thing. That's yeah. the other thing. Yeah, and when a quarterback is going to be that owned, you just play him, I think.
Yeah, in cash, it was totally fine. And, yeah, to make everything else work, it was like, yeah, okay, we'll just roll with Jimmy Garoppolo, and if he sucks, it won't, like, hurt us that bad because everyone's going to own him. So
Yeah.
Speaking of fat, how about we get to this running back position where we played Kareem freaking Hunt?
Yeah, is Kareem Hunt fat?
No, I think that what's happening is they don't want to use him in the role that he was being used in prior, like where he was, you know, just playing obviously like a lot of third downs. They were using that at the slot and everything. Like, I think they are just using him in kind of Nick Chubb's role.
Like he was Nick Chubb, and then but then who's taking his role?
But I guess it's the tight ends. Like, I guess if you look at their target distribution, it's been the tight ends, right? We've seen lots of Harrison Bryant, lots of David Njoku.
Lots of Jarvis Landry, their third tight end.
Yeah. But I mean, it's crazy though. Kareem Hunt, since Chubb has been out, 4-3 and 4 targets, he was targeted more times, you know, in the, like, he had 6, 2, and 3. It's like literally his role really hasn't changed without Chubb.
We kind of, I mean, everybody kind of assumed that Kareem Hunt was all of a sudden just going to take his workload and Nick Chubb's workload and just become like this ultra back, like a top 5 back rest of season. I admit I kind of fell prey to that, because it's like, who else do they have? Dearness Johnson, who's that guy?
What's happening is they're not very good on offense, correct. And like, that's a big problem.
If anything, I think that's what this was. I think it was just the team actually ran very low plays. I mean, Baker only passed 25 times, and then there was what?
Like 22 rushes.
Like, yeah, there was like very little actual rushing attempts.
So adding it up, that sounds like 47 plays to me. This is not very many plays.
So I think it was more – I don't know if it's a workload issue if it was just like a volume issue and the fact that the
matter I mean,
that,
this was a terrible game environment.
I know.
Yeah.
That game environment should have – maybe alerted us a little more to like, oh wait, this could play out with 50 plays.
Well, yes, but also you assume in that game environment, short throws and lots of rushing attempts. Like you would have been like, oh, Kareem Hunt's going to run like a minimum of 15 times here. I mean, they didn't score a touchdown in this game. Like if like, you know what I mean? Like it just happens sometimes. Like yeah, his
47 plays and no touchdowns. That's not going to do it, no matter who your running back is.
Yeah. So I think that was fine. Like I think that's just running bad. I mean, I guess the thing is that he was probably pretty bad in tournaments, given how highly he ended up being owned. Because like, I mean, Jamal Williams is a straight up like better daily fantasy play than Kareem Hunt is right now. And I think that people kind of got off of Giovanni Bernard. I think they largely got off of Gio because of the offensive line stuff for Cincinnati in tournaments, but Kareem Hunt in cash was fine.
We all play. Do we all play Kareem, Jamal, and Kamara?
No, I played Kareem, Jamal in my Galaxy brain lineup. Kareem, Jamal, and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
Forgot. Same, putting bad. Aside. Yeah, Sammy being a fish. None of us decided to play Derrick Henry and go full fish, though.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Alvin Kamara just had, like, the floor game of all floor games 2 weeks in a row, right? He hits 99 receiving yards after entering the half with 86, and he still beat Kamara. Didn't score a touchdown, didn't get either bonus, and he still beat Kamara. Like, I'm sorry, listeners, but if you played Derrick Henry in cash – over Alvin Kamara on DraftKings, you're bad. It was not good.
It was a bad play. When the cards flipped and I saw that Derrick Henry was 32% owned in cash, I was so thankful. I was so happy. I just thought every dollar I put on DraftKings cash this morning had a much better expected value than I thought it would. 32% in like significant cash action of that is just bad. Like,
well, and just spelling it out for the listeners, because I'm sure many of you out there did play Derrick Henry, and we feel sorry for your families. But
Henry did fine.
Correct. Yeah. But the thing is, he had to get the bonus and score a touchdown and get there. Kamara just had to exist. Kamara just had to do normal things,
yeah.
Not even run hot.
He had one explosive play, but that was it. It really was just totally in the flow of the game. Normal stuff. Yeah.
Right. So when you're, you know, when you're entering like high, I mean, you can play Henry in tournaments because he has that upside to go for 202. We've seen it. But when you're looking for like a floor, Kamara just gives it to you in a way that Derrick Henry doesn't. Like if Derrick Henry doesn't score and get the bonus, he just doesn't pay off the price tag like any of the time. And Kamara,
I think these are the times to actually have rational discussions around Derrick Henry versus the times when he like puts up 6 and then people are just dunk gloating on you. It's actually like, yeah, he put up 20 points this week, but this is why you play Alvin Kamara. This game shows you that Alvin Kamara has a 40-point upside every time he goes out there, because he can literally beat Henry at his floor. If anything goes his way, if he hits any bonus, if he hits any touchdown, if he does any of the variance swings here, you are hosed if you're Derrick Henry, and you're happy if you're Derrick Henry. This was like a 70 percentile outcome for Derrick Henry. He hit 100 yards.
I think we should make this point. He's starting to lose a little bit of work.
McNichols, it's a legit thing.
Well, they used to give him like 30 carries. Now he was at 18. McNichols had 4. Donta Foreman had 5. Derrick Henry had 1 target, 0 receptions. Unbelievable. Also, how about your boy Corey Davis today, Nate? How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, he's back. He's back.
He's back. Corey Davis.
You played
Johnny,
though, didn't you?
Yeah, I felt fine about that, I think. I think even watching the way the game played out, I felt fine about Johnny.
Did you feel fine that even though Tennessee was down the entire time and he only got 2 targets?
Well, it's actually written in the bylaws of like the corporate entity that owns the Titans that they have to run on every first down. So like whatever amount of passes you would expect, you know, a normal team to throw when trailing the entire game, you have to cut that down by about 25% because they're not legally allowed to.
This is true. Were you happy to see Anthony Firkser out target him for like the 5th week in a row?
No, first of all, I hate Jonnu Smith. I truly despise him, obviously, because he's like David Kitchen's favorite player, but we're not the tight end yet. We gotta talk about wide receivers first.
Was there any other wide receiver running backs that were played in cash that anybody considered? I thought Gaskin was fine.
Yeah,
I didn't play him, but I thought
the team I was telling you was Gaskin, Kittle versus what, Kamara and Johnny. Yeah. I thought that was a pretty reasonable, like, I thought that was a reasonable 2v2, but as our good friend, Adam Levitan, friend of the show, he just don't pay up for tight end on DraftKings cash. Like when has it ever worked?
It never works. I mean, 0% of the time it works.
Yeah. Like the one guy who I feel like has actually paid off for me is Waller. Like doing it with Waller the couple times I've done it, I feel like it pays off. But more often.
Cox was out. Cheaper than the other guys.
If Mo Alie-Cox was out, I would have rolled the Burton team and would have been happy. The issue is with Cox.
He's not a thing.
Well, the issue is with Cox in, I couldn't play Burton, and there were no cheap tight ends that I like felt good about. I mean, maybe I should have. I don't know. There was like no tight ends I felt good about that weren't up. It was either, when Burton was not a legitimate player anymore.
This Tennessee passing game is such a nightmare. They had 34 targeted passes, and no one got more than 6 targets, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 players were targeted.
Nate, I think the thing that we missed about Burton is he just takes all of Jonathan Taylor's rushing touchdown equity.
Since Trey Burton came back from the short-term injury reserve, he has more rushing touchdowns than Jonathan Taylor.
Well, he's better than Jonathan Taylor as a running back, so I think appropriate.
By the way, Nate, you're really missing an opportunity here to gloat about Kenny Golladay. 4 targets, 0 receptions, 0 yards in a game his team was trailing and threw 42 passes.
Well, he got hurt. He didn't play
He didn't play it was just the fourth quarter, I think.
I think it was the whole second half.
Was it?
Okay, well, he got hurt, so Nate, you're not allowed to gloat. All right, let's do wide receivers then. So these were the choices people had. The wide receivers that were in play: Tyler Lockett, Keenan Allen, Denzel Mims, Braxton Berrios,
Johnson,
Jacoby Myers, and Brandon Ayuk. Those were the guys who you could have played before Lock and not
Kendrick
been bad.
Bourne.
Kendrick Bourne.
Did you say
sure,
Kendrick
he was
Bourne?
Fine.
He was in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I played before Lock, Tyler Lockett, Keenan Allen, Denzel Mims. I got to say, in the first half, when the Jets were trying, I was like, oh, Mims is going to get the 100-yard bonus.
He had 42 yards in the first 40, two yards. Yeah. It was like, Mims was the right one, yes!
But they stopped. Like, I don't know what it is, but the Jets in the second half, I don't know if it's they run out of scripted plays or they all just get sick of, like, getting their asses kicked, but they just stopped trying. They're running on first and second down, and then they throw screen to Berrios.
Hard. I think they're tanking so hard that a call came in and said, hey, Mims looks like a legitimate NFL wide receiver out there. We got to stop giving this guy the ball.
I think they all went into the locker room and they had like a Varsity Blues type moment with Adam Gase. And they're just like, we're not playing for you, bro. Like, we're not going to do anything for you until you get fired.
Mims is the only thing on the whole field that has looked like a legitimate NFL player. And it was only for the first half. And then it was just like, I'm not even out here anymore. And then that's where Barrios shines. I mean, Barrios loves it. So I had tons of Barrios in GPP because he just mops up all that. But yeah, I thought Mims was like, for me, I thought Mims, Allen, and Lockett were like the plays up until this morning when I decided the Galaxy bring it.
So Allen was clearly, I mean, let's just start there. Like, Keenan Allen was really
clear. He was the one. Yeah.
Optimal cash play on DraftKings, and everybody should have played him.
He had what, 4 for 48 and a touchdown at halftime?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Chargers stopped throwing.
They took their foot off the gas thinking they were up by like 20, and then Denver came back and
– Yeah, and then they choked it off so bad, like in – extraordinary Chargers fashion.
Keenan, in a game where they stopped throwing it, had 9 for 67 and a touchdown. I mean, he is a $7,000 wide receiver on DraftKings right now.
Yeah, the thing is, he just gets so many targets that he never disappears. Like, in a way that, like, somebody like Tyler Lockett doesn't, right? Tyler Lockett has plenty of disappear games. Keenan Allen really doesn't. Like, he's just so involved. They just never forget about the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was great. I am on the record as saying I think that Metcalf is the best fantasy wide receiver on the Seahawks roster, but the, what was it, $800 that separated, $400 that separated?
$400, it was 7.5 to 7.1. So everyone's going to play Lockett.
You needed the 400.
Yeah, everyone's going to play Lockett because they're like, oh, dude, I mean, first off, Lockett has had two games that just like completely went nuclear on the slate. And then, obviously, one of them was last week. So you have recency bias, and you also have a cheaper guy that just led people to lock it naturally. But I was on record. I got many, many, many things wrong today, my friends. But I was on record as saying that Lockett was not worth the money, and I think he has high bust potential. I didn't like it.
Yeah, Lockett is – I mean, Metcalf was the cover boy of my GVP stuff this week, and I do think – I mean, probably it's probably trite – but like the right answer is probably you play the cheaper one in cash and you play the lower owned one in tournaments, whichever way that works out. Like, that's probably the right way to think about it.
Let's not act like any of us are so smart that we know which one is going to go off.
Sure.
I actually don't think I think the answer is we don't play either one of them in cash. I don't think that in cash
no,
it makes
this
sense
is stupid.
To pay.
This is a gal brain take.
Well, Nate, when one of them scores 40 points every week, I'm not sure that's right.
I don't think we can be paying 7K plus for receivers that every other week are trading off who the alpha is. When one of them gets five or less targets, these other guys at 7K, Davante Adams is never going to not be the alpha on his team. Keenan Allen is never going to not be the alpha on his team. Like, there's going to be times when you pay up for Tyler Lockett at similar price tags as some of these other legitimate alphas. Like, DeAndre Hopkins will always be the guy who – so I just don't think it's okay – to continue to play for these guys in cash until we can consistently see target shares.
This is a 19 condom, just like Galbraith.
No, it's not.
Dumbassery take.
You play that in GPP. In GPP, you don't play.
You know what?
Cash
I
games.
Actually already have 6 condoms on from splitting my
from
cash.
Splitting.
Earlier, so I'm actually just going to put the other 13 on and agree with Nate here in a way. It's going to depend on the slate because. You know, like, we didn't have a number of those guys on this slate specifically. You know, we have bye weeks and, you know, primetime games, et cetera. But I think what Nate's saying is correct in terms of, like, the alpha. Like, because we don't just think of upside. Obviously, these guys have upside that equals any receiver in the NFL. But their floor, as we've seen also, is pretty low in a lot of situations.
Yeah, but... I mean, that is true with many wide, like, unless you are Davante Adams or Keenan Allen, like, wide receiver floors are just really low. Like, we just know
DeAndre
that to
Hopkins.
Be true. I mean, Hopkins has had, I think, he in the Dallas game, he had 3 for 55 or something like that. Like, all these guys can have bad games. I completely, like, 100% disagree with this take. They, over 55% of Seattle's passing attempts go to those two guys. I'm not on board with that take at all. I think these guys will consistently be cash plays. Well, not if Metcalf is 8,200 and Lockett is, you know, 7,500 or whatever. But if they're going to be priced in the high sixes and low sevens, yeah, they will be cash plays.
Oh, sure. At those prices, yeah.
At those prices, well, they're both above 7K and they're only getting higher. So, I guess at 6K, then yeah, because you're considering like them over Deontay Johnson type players at that point.
How dare you?
Yeah, well, but, whatever.
Okay, so I galaxy brained it at whatever time that was, 11:30, when the Edelman – I don't even remember when the Edelman stuff and the New England stuff came out, but – but yeah, I got to bring
that was like Thursday or Wednesday, but yeah.
Was it? No. There was some news that came out this morning that totally changed around the
No, those guys have been out since Wednesday.
The Abacus and Protractor guy. He just logs on Sunday morning, starts running through stuff through his database, and he's like, well, seems like a nice day to play some DFS. Who's popping?
No, I swear Jacoby wasn't popping at all for me until this morning. There was something that changed. Unless I just wasn't refreshing with something. But yeah, Jacoby basically at his price came out, and like we were talking about with those cheap wide receivers, there was like three of them that we were looking at, and Jacoby was the one that I looked at that had the most upside for the price tag. And so, I needing Alvin Kamara in my teams, I went with two cheap wide receivers in. Denzel Mims, who we talked about already, and then I went up to Jacoby instead of Bourne or Berrios because I couldn't handle having two Jets on my team. So that was my galaxy to do that, Nate.
And honestly, I want to give you some props for the Jacoby play because he was like pretty much the most involved New England receiver. He had a really nice game. They had a nice game script where they were kind of like in the game, but they were behind the whole time. And, I mean, he had a lot more receptions and targets than Deontay Johnson, frankly. So
I think he had a touchdown call back, too, when I was tilted. But it ultimately didn't work out in the end because I played Kittle and Garoppolo. So.
Yeah, see, that was your problem, Nate. You didn't suck enough in the morning.
You didn't suck enough to swap. Okay, so let's do this. Defense, I played the Browns. I thought the cash playable defenses were the Dolphins, the Browns, and the Bears. Obviously, the Dolphins got, like, what, 24? They were sick. The Bears probably did nothing.
I played with my Galb team. I played Tennessee against the Cincinnati Bengals with, like, all four of their linemen out, and they got -1 points. So,
yeah.
Another L for me.
So this was the swap. We're sitting there. We are looking at our lineups. We have Kareem Hunt with the snowflake, 9.3, Jamal Williams, 18.2, fine, but he's like 90% owned. So it really doesn't matter. We have Denzel Mims with 6.2, Jonnu Smith with 4.9 snowflake, Cleveland Browns defense with 3.0. So we have quarterback open. We have two wide receiver slots open and the flex with Alvin Kamara. I looked at Jimmy, Metcalf, Lockett, and then going down from Kamara, I looked at Russ, Metcalf, Lockett, DJ Dallas. I looked at an Ayuk one. But then at the end, I was like, the thing that makes the most sense is to get Russ over Jimmy. That should be the inflection point.
I'm glad that you got here because that was the swap that I landed on independent of you. And the reason was because getting off Kamara was not a good idea because A, Kamara's got mad upside. B, he was going to score mad points. Like, you're not going to like swap off of him and like make money. Henry was more owned than him. So we needed to like create that off of Henry. But the leverage point was Russell Wilson versus Jimmy Garoppolo. And then it was DK Metcalf versus Tyler Lockett. Those were the leverage points that were.
Yeah, we had to get off Lockett because Lockett was going to be what I mean, I don't even, because I got off of him. Nate, how owned was Lockett in like the massive $25 double up?
I don't know. I didn't have Lockett.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go find this. Talk more about the swap while I go find this, Sammy.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the thesis behind the swap is like, okay, you need to create leverage off chalk. You start playing it more like a GPP than you are a cash and looking for optimal stuff. And so what both Davis and I did is we got off of Jimmy and went up to Russ. We got off of Lockett and got up to DK Metcalf. And then we got off of Keenan Allen. So neither of us ended up with Keenan Allen, and we dropped down to Kendrick Bourne to free up the salary to get to Russ and DK.
But we stayed on Kamara also, which is that because yes. I didn't think we were so dead that we had to be like playing Latavius Murray for like an in-game injury.
Yeah, no.
Because we had so much PMR, you know. Yes. But and also it's just like there's also that element of when you're sitting there looking at the swap and you're like, dude, do I really want to swap off Alvin Kamara? We're like, if I get this wrong, I just lose every single game.
Yeah, I'm just going to try salvage like 20% instead. But so, here's the thing. We really got lucky because, I mean, Russ and DK Metcalf just went completely nuclear, and it happened right away.
I have to give you guys props, A, for swapping. I think too many people don't swap. Too many people just, like, roll with what they had in their hand because they think it's, like, the best because they spent all week on it. So I give you guys props for swapping, but if you were to like write a book, a DFS book, and you were to describe an example of swapping, this is like the
this is 101
way.
Yeah,
like 101. You take the highest owned quarterback, the highest owned tight end, you swap off of them. They have the lowest percentile outcome they could have had. One of them gets an in-game in both of them get an in-game injury, and then you swap to two guys who go absolutely ham. Like it was you created the most possible leverage and had the best possible outcome.
So this was the swap. It was Jimmy into Russ, Lockett into Metcalf, Keenan into Bourne. It was a 56-point swap.
So didn't you guys get off Kittle
so
too?
Hot.
We didn't have Kittle. We had Janu.
Yeah. Yo, this was our Janu team, so we're stuck in tight end. But
well,
I mean,
either way, you guys got off of you guys left everybody with the ownership in the dust, and then it wasn't just a 56-point swap. It was also like leveraged because it was a massive ownership.
Yeah,
swap
Russ
well.
Russ right. was 11% owned in the big $25 double up. DK Metcalf 8.4% owned. Kendrick Bourne 22.6 compared to 58% for Keenan Allen. But then also, Alvin Kamara was only 31%, which I guess means that everyone just played Henry. So in a way, we didn't even really need the leverage there. We just needed Kamara to outscore Henry, which he did.
Which he did.
That's exactly what I was saying. And dude, even Bourne smashed. Bourne ended up with like 16 points.
A lot of garbage for Kendrick Bourne. I think he had I think he had like 6 points at halftime.
Oh yeah. He was terrible. But he ended up with 8 for 81. And you know, if he could break a tackle, he'd have a touchdown too. But he didn't want to do that.
Well, he's
Davis, how did you land on that swap? Was it, did you use like the late swap optimizer? Was it just a hand build? How did you land there?
Well, I knew our lineup was bad at like in like the second quarter of.
Yeah, but you all, I mean, every other week you text and be like, buddy, we got to swap. Like, so I wasn't really listening to you until it was actually like
well,
about.
I do look at the swaps early, but actually, if I'm going to be 100, the reason why I was already thinking about swaps was my team in the double spy, which is the $200 single entry team, had DJ Dallas in the flex. So I'd been looking all morning at a bunch of swaps anyways, like, okay, what can I do if you know, Homer or if Hyde is in or if Carson is in or whatever. So I'd been looking at it anyway. So I think I was just more attuned to like, oh, you know, it's actually likely that, you know, these pieces fit together. But the reason I landed on it was I was just like, well, I need a guy who can get 40, and Metcalf over Lockett seemed easy enough. And then I also just convinced myself I was behind enough to get off of Keenan.
Yeah, it was a great swap.
Yeah, I was the opposite, Nate. I rushed outside with like 15 minutes to go and started vaping furiously with my laptop in my lap. And just went through and just decided the leverage points. Like, I like sat down and said, okay, what are the actual leverage points? And the actual leverage points were easy, right? It was just very easy. It was, I didn't want to come off of Keenan Allen, But at the end of the day, it was Russ against Jimmy and Metcalf against Lockett. I mean, I think those just stood out like sore thumbs. And yeah, getting off of Alvin Kamara was just not the thing to do, I didn't think.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, and also the reason why I didn't feel that Kamara, like the other thing that we could have done in that lineup, Sammy, was just straight swap Kamara to Kittle and just leave the salary. Right. But I didn't think that he would end up being. I did not think that Kamara would be like 50% owned the way that Derrick Henry.
Once we saw Derrick Henry had that insane ownership, it was like there's just not enough left for Kamara, so he's got to stay, right? He's granting us leverage.
Did you play on FanDuel?
No, I did not play on FanDuel today.
So I made the same swap on FanDuel actually.
Really?
So on FanDuel, I had the guys who had locked already, Jamal Williams, Miles Gaskin, Marquise Brown, Kareem Hunt. And so I had QB open, I had two wide receiver slots open, I had tight end open, and I had defense open. And I swapped, I guess pre-lock it would have been, Lockett, Ayuk. I swapped them to Kendrick Bourne and DK Metcalf. I kept Kittle. And then I swapped off the Saints defense onto the Bears defense as well, because the Saints defense was like, I mean, obviously ownerships are not live on FanDuel because they're not live on FanDuel, but they are like,
FanDuel can't hang with that.
I assumed they were like 55% owned. So yeah. the double swap, the rare, how many times has the swap led to just the complete tilt, and you're sitting there like, oh, if I just would have stayed, I would have made, you know, 5% back or whatever.
Yeah, dude.
So it feels pretty good.
It just never works. It just never works. And today it actually worked and really saved my day on DraftKings. And, you know, I get out of here. I made a lot of bad decisions, man. Like, honestly, like I did not, you know, I decided, like I said, that Jonathan Taylor was going to smash. And Kittle was going to smash. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to do everything I can to like make this happen. Cause I feel really strongly about this. And that was just stupid. You know what I mean? You know, went a little gal brain and fortunately, like just got saved by the hair of my ass.
So there is another thing that we maybe should have talked about before Lockmore is like, we got that Jay Glazer report that Hyde and Carson were like pretty much out.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if DJ Dallas over the Kamara spot with Russ and with Kittle, I wonder if that maybe would, because there were so many swaps, right? Like there was Josh Kelly, Justin Jackson, Philip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon. There were all kinds of guys that to play in the flex spot in the late games. I'm wondering if maybe it was a little bit of a leak to not try and plan for that. I actually think it was. I assume most people listening to this were like, oh no, if you don't know, you can't leave yourself with Justin Jackson or whatever. But I think maybe it was a little bit of a leak.
I mean, when did that report come out? Cause I remember
like 5 minutes before lock.
Before lock.
It was super close. And at that point I was just like, dude, I got my stuff down. I feel good. Like I kind of just like knew there might be value there, but just didn't really feel confident that I could make it work within that small amount of time.
Yeah, I think that seems, you know, mostly about right. Do we have any other observations on this week?
Dalvin Cook more.
I don't. That sort of hindsight analysis is like, yeah, we should have.
No, dude, I had him on my main. Like, I had. Yeah, two you did.
I didn't have him at all.
I had him on both. But I just think he was, I mean, in tournaments, he was like, I couldn't believe how much of a difference he made. I mean, if you had him, it was like.
Oh, everybody can do this every week. But if it, like in my, in one of my lineups, if I had played Cook and Geo, a 2v2 versus Hyde and Jonathan Taylor, I would have won 200K. Like
I'm just saying very rarely do we get a 50 burger from someone that wasn't like a cash consideration. Like
that's
normally
true.
It's like,
that's true.
We all considered him. We just didn't end up there. Or maybe we ended up there. Like a 50 burger from Tyler Lockett when he's 40% owned in cash is like, oh, everybody knew he was a great play.
Yeah.
For that, that was, I don't know, I thought it was worth observing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, next week. So, hey, I got good news for you, Sammy. Your Pittsburgh Steelers
off the slate.
Your Pittsburgh Steelers play the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh boy, it's Deontay.
What price do you think you could play him at after watching this performance?
I mean, I really hate to say this because this dunks on my entire process. But like, if he's over 5K, I don't know that you can play him.
What about Juju?
The other thing about Deontay is he's literally getting hurt in every game.
Literally every game he left.
Literally everyone. Like, I know he came back and played in this game, but just the fact that he left with a new injury, dude, he's having some sort of, like, injury cascade. You know what I mean? Where you start, like, favoring one part of your body. Like, it's a mess. Like, honestly, like, that's all bad.
I can get down with some Juju, depending on his price.
You know who Nate's going to play next week? David Johnson playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're going to be starting either Jake Luton or Mike Glennon at quarterback.
I mean, depending on the price, I might be there too. But I mean, I'm really excited to see what Chase Edmonds' price is. I assume.
Yeah.
A lot of people will be on Chase Edmonds. Like, he won't be a secret by any stretch. But I'm excited.
I don't know. I'm a little worried about
Taylor and play Chase Edmonds instead.
I'm a little worried about like Kyler just being the main running back now.
I'm not worried about that at all.
I am, because he runs in a lot of 1 yard touchdowns.
The thing you should be worried about is Chase Edmonds staying in his role as the scat back and Eno Benjamin playing the Kenyon Drake like first and second down rushing role. That is a legitimate worry, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that's a worry, but I'm worried about Edmonds just being Kareem Hunt.
Sure. Yeah. I think that. That's reasonable. Oh man, so brutal. Broncos Falcons. You put that horrific Broncos offense up against that just extremely forgiving Falcons defense. I mean, what do we do?
Wait, what do you mean that horrific Broncos offense? We got Phillip Lindsay. We got Noah Fant.
Oh my God, Nate loves Phillip Lindsay.
He loves him so much. You should have played him today, Nate.
The Broncos just went and put up 30-something points on the Chargers. Like,
well, it was a soft 30, though.
It was like a hard 31.
the thing is they involve so many different dudes. They have Albert O, who's getting all the end zone targets. I guess Fant will definitely be in play. Judy had 10 targets today, but, like, Sammy, I don't know, you know, how much your hand is in the dirt, but I think that Judy has been pretty underwhelming relative to what I expected from him.
Yeah, very, very underwhelming. I mean, the reality is, like, all these rookies are kind of going at different speeds, and understanding, like, what speed each of them are at, I think, is really important.
Yeah, like, but I mean, Judy did lead them in targets today, so probably something to...
If Judy's still in the 4Ks, like, he's a play.
He won't be. Like... Judy will be 5,400.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm excited to see what McLaurin is. McLaurin is facing the Giants.
McLaurin will be 6,100.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I know the DK pricing algorithm better than I, like, know almost anything else. Just is what it is. The big dog plays the Chicago Bears. I played the big dog against the Steelers at 1.8% ownership. I'll probably play him at, like, 2.6% ownership against the Bears. He'll have 19 rushing attempts, 61 yards, and 0 touchdowns.
You know what you should do is just play James Conner. Play the little dog.
Yeah, against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Bills, Seahawks. How excited for this game would we have been a month ago before we realized that Josh Allen is trash?
MVP battle!
Dude, I mean, does Josh Allen need to be good? I mean, we literally just saw Nick Mullins put up like 200 yards in a
Josh Allen. Let's go to Josh Allen's recent games here on my favorite website, Pro Football Reference. All right, today against the Patriots, 11 for 18, 154 yards, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception, 10 rushes for 23 yards. Against the Jets last week, 30 for 43, zero touchdowns against the Chiefs, 14 for 27, 122 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. And then the last game where he was good-ish, 26 for 41, 263 and two against the Tennessee Titans. I'll probably like Allen for tournaments a little bit, but my
guess is that Allen and Diggs with Metcalf or Lockett bring back is not going to be a thing because it
is. It makes
it's going to be a thing. Yeah. It's going to be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It is going to be a thing. I also, freaking Diggs keeps getting banged up. Like every game he has to go and like sit on the sideline for a little bit. And that he like, it's kind of a Deontay Johnson situation. It's kind of bumming me out. So that's maybe something to think about.
Wait, who do the Eagles play? Do they play on the slate? No, they have a bye. Because as we're recording this, Jalen Reagor just caught a touchdown.
I know. I'm feeling very lightheaded.
Davis's basketball teams just took a huge.
I have Jalen Reagor in like $7,000 worth of season long fantasy football teams. So all of those touchdowns are extremely, extremely good for me. Okay. Lions Vikings. Oh, it's an outdoor game. Panthers Chiefs in Kansas City.
Robbie Anderson.
CMC's back though. How much is CMC back going to make them worse on offense?
Well, it would have been hard to be worse than they were on Thursday.
Do you think they're really going to give him full workload right away?
I think that Mike Davis will get worked in, but what I'm saying is I don't think CMC will be a play because he'll be like 10,000.
I'm not saying he's going to be a play. I'm saying, is he going to make the rest of that offense back to what it was pre?
I think it's going to be like egregious. I think it's going to be worse because I think they're going to give Mike Davis 8 touches a game. Give McCaffrey 19 to 26 touches a game or something like that. I think he shrinks I think Curtis Samuel completely evaporates. And I think that Robbie and DJ see less.
I was just going to say, Nate, how much does Robbie Anderson have to be next week for you not to play him?
Probably like 6,500. If he's under 65, I'll probably play him again.
Well, he will be.
I just love Robbie Anderson.
Robbie Anderson will be 6,300, I think.
Nate, Robbie Anderson is like him and David Johnson are the only players that you have like an established emotional connection to, which I find really interesting.
I don't even know if it's emotion or just like looking at the number. I mean,
it's not. He only sees ones and zeros, and he like those binary ones and zeros look prettier to Nate than to everyone else.
He's like Neo in the Matrix seeing the red woman. He's just like, oh, there's Robbie Anderson. He's so beautiful.
He's so beautiful.
Yes, looking at this Robbie stuff, he's underpriced from every other guy that he's around in any volume metric you look at. Target share, air yard share, whopper, anything you look at, he's just underpriced compared to every other guy.
Yeah, but it's DJ's coming, bro. At the end of the year, it's not going to look that good. Got to watch the tape.
Did you watch Thursday?
DJ's not coming. DJ is already here. DJ's already
passed. Yeah, that's actually a good point. He's already here.
I'm not worried about DJ. DJ is who DJ is. I'm worried about Curtis Samuel and his 10 targets. Curtis Samuel legit, like, was the number one receiver from Thursday. Dude,
whatever. CMC is going to come back, and he's going to be a black hole from which no targets can escape, and everyone's target share is just going to drop by, like, 1.5 per game. And that's going to be the end of the fantasy goodness for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
RIP. Had a good run. Play Deontay Johnson.
Okay, let's see. Ravens-Colts, maybe we see more Dobbins in that game. I don't know. Dude, the Monday night football game next week. Great night to play showdown and not watch a second of the game. Patriots at Jets next Monday.
Oh, my God. My wife's going to be so excited that we can, like, have a date night or something. That's great.
That's going to be some bad football.
Can we talk about how the Pittsburgh Steelers are the best team in the NFL, or are we going to cut the podcast off?
Hey, you know, if we need to if you want to double down on our bet, Chiefs for Steelers. Let me tell you this, dude. That Steelers team, watching them, I am not afraid.
Sammy, it is the most fake. It is the most fake. It's like as bad as the Bears. What were the Bears? 4-1 this year. Like
it's not. It's not that bad because the.
What are you talking about?
The Chiefs. The Chiefs will destroy in a legitimate post. Like I would. I would take them. What odds did you give Davis?
We booked it at
100 to 125, so 5-4.
Yeah.
Something like that.
All right. What are the odds now?
I'm sure they have gotten better as Pittsburgh won again.
They're the same, maybe.
Sammy, I'll get in on more action than Davis had at a better price than Davis had.
All right. I mean, I have double down action on Pittsburgh already, so let's kind of like revisit. I have a lot of action on Pittsburgh already. But let's just talk about how they're the only undefeated team in the NFL, and they beat Tennessee in Tennessee and then beat the Ravens in Baltimore. I mean, say what you want, dude, but that team's good as hell. Like, comparing them to the Bears.
I mean, what did the Chiefs-Ravens game look like? I'm having a hard time remembering how that played out. I don't think there was a dramatic last-minute possession in Chiefs-Ravens. If I sort of rings true. I don't.
Did the Titans just lose to Cincy, or what happened in that game?
Yeah, they did. They did.
I think the Titans.
We can't play like, oh yeah, yeah. Well, this team lost to this team, and this team lost to this team. Like,
look,
the Chiefs lost to the Raiders, and the Raiders. I mean, what do you want to say to this?
I think the Steelers are a very nice second place AFC team, and I think they're going to have a really fun season.
You're such a troll. Dude, the team's really good all around. I know their offense can't hang with Kansas City, but like all around, that team.
It's not anyone's fault that their team is not as good as the Chiefs.
I mean, we don't have Mahomes and we don't have Andy Reid. Like,
what do you want to do? You can't make Mecole Hardmans and Tyreek Hills pop up out of nowhere.
Dude, you can make Chase Claypools and occasionally Deontay Johnson, but not this week.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the biggest deal for Deontay going forward is Claypool seems better than him, I think.
I mean, Claypool seems better than everybody. He's super good, bro. You should have drafted him instead of Jalen Reagor on those best balls.
Reagor, buddy, he's coming.
The Chiefs' offense is just so freaking efficient, and I just don't see a way – with Pittsburgh that they would ever be able to keep up in a legitimate game where Andy Reid is.
Yo, dude, I mean, look, like I know that the Chiefs, I mean, you can't say you're better than the Chiefs until like you knock them off. They're the defending world champions. They have Patrick Mahomes. Like I'm not a complete idiot. Like I understand this, but it is fun to see Pittsburgh beating all comers, super well-rounded team, super good team. And weird stuff happens in the playoffs. I think Pittsburgh can play with KC. Obviously, in that game, they need some things to go right. Like, Casey's hella good.
Yeah. There's just things that, like, it feels like when people are like, oh, our team is better than the Lakers in the middle of the season in the NBA. Well, it's like, well, because it's not LeBron James at his, like, full form. Or it's not like – I just – regular season is so different to me than postseason. And there's just, like, I don't see the way that Ben Roethlisberger and this, like, offense that they've hacked together – is going to like legitimately do anything in the postseason.
Dude, I do love agree. This is a boots in the ground boomer take from Nate. He's like, once you get to the playoffs, things are different, man.
You can't get through the playoffs without using play action. You can't like Ben Roethlisberger doesn't like to turn his back to the defense.
Hey, at least we're using jet motion. That's a good thing.
You're literally not playing football in the most efficient way you possibly can. There's a reason why the EPA per play for the Pittsburgh Steelers is always going to be lower than legitimate teams that learn how to play in the 20th century.
Like, no, I know, but they added jet motion, which, I mean, for Fichtner and that team is, like, actually a legitimate evolution instead of everyone just standing still. At least they do that. But the lack thereof is extremely bad, and they should feel bad.
I got to get my hand out of the dirt. That was far too, like – real football take from
it's good to see you ordering the family economy size thing of condoms from Amazon.
All right, there we go. That's a good way to end the show. Good galaxy brain late swap show. Everyone, if you took my games and you got punished today, you know, whatever, you got punished because you weren't sharp enough to swap and you stuck with Jimmy Garoppolo. And you probably played Derrick Henry as well. All right. We'll see you all next week.